Good morning. Let's make our way back to our seats and continue in this time of corporate worship. Greetings to all our guests, family, and visitors. Welcome to Soma, Philadelphia. We are a family of missionary servants making disciples who make disciples. So if you are visiting with us today, first, we're delighted that you're here. We're delighted that the Lord brought you to this place. And we're so delighted that in front of you, in the chair in front of you, there is a visitor's card. And we'd love to know that you are here. We'd love to celebrate God for you being with us today. And if you have any questions about our ministry, who we are, and what we're here for, you would fill this card out and you would get it back to someone like me. My name is Kai Leo, and I'm a deacon here. So that means I'm a trustworthy person. And I promise not to sign you up on any of those goofy mailing lists or anything. Yes. So besides that, as we continue in our time of worship, I'm encouraged by words in Psalm 146 this morning. And you know, so it's Sunday, and this is a corporate gathering. So we're not spectators, we're participators. So won't you take your Bibles out and turn with me to Psalm 146. And y'all are going to help me read this. Is that all right? Okay. Psalm 146. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and I would just like volunteers to pick up the other verses and finish us out through 9. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise him, sing his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Ooh, sorry. That is a good one. But my page turned. Whoops, Psalm 146. Okay. It's all good, right? You know, it's all good. Amen, you know. Maybe that's what the Lord wanted. Okay, here we go. All right. And they opened the same way. That's how it got me. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Volunteers, pick it up. Amen. The word of the Lord is blessed. And having said that, let's continue in our praise of the Lord and our worship in a time of prayer. And just I want to ask you all, the Dunners, our beloved family, for us are going through some things right now. Anna's dad, whose name is Paul, had a pacemaker put in this week. And so we're just going to pray for them and just pray that God would strengthen their hands as they serve him and love on him and that he would see Jesus in their service most of all. And if it's the will of the Lord, to just heal him and draw Paul close to himself. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we worship you. And like David said in the Psalms, we will praise you while we have our beings, as long as we live. God, you are excellent and most worthy of praise. As we read these words, God, I pray that they would not just be thoughts that are far off from us. I pray that these words that we read would be our testimony, that we would praise you with all that we have, that we would see that you watch over the sojourners, that you bind up the brokenhearted, that you lift up those who are bowed down, Lord, that you love the righteous. Lord God, we love you for your love for us. How great is your love towards us. And so, God, we pray for Paul and the Dunners this morning, for that entire family. Lord God, we thank you for preserving his life, for keeping him safe up until this point. And, Lord God, we just praise you for your ability to work in the midst of difficulty. And we thank you for Anna and Robert and for their children and for the way that they're loving on their dad and their grandpa. Lord, we pray that you would minister to his needs, that you would serve him through the hands of your servants, your people, that they would see themselves as your instruments, that they would work for you as they love Paul. And God, if it be your will, we pray that you would heal him, that you would raise him up, but only for the purpose of drawing him closer to yourself. We pray that you speak to his heart and his pain right now, that you speak to him through the pain in his body. Lord God, we thank you for this service today. We thank you for the ability to gather, to worship, to call upon you, to seek you while you may be found, and to call upon you while you are near. So God, will you draw near to us as we draw near to you? May we hear your voice. Preach to the pastor, preach through the pastor, and preach to our hearts. Give us instructions for what you would have us to do this week and to be who we've been called to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kylie. Good morning. That's a little weak. I know it's rainy out, but we can do better. We can do better. Good morning. There you go. Kylie got us started a little bit. We're going to do some interacting today. So a couple of weeks ago, Harry broke out the whiteboard for you and started to walk us through some things that week in regards to Philemon and also some ways that we could interact with the text some. We're going to do that a little bit today. So get your juices flowing, get your brain functioning a little bit. We're going to do some work in a minute here, but we're going to focus today primarily on, as we have over the last couple of weeks, what it means to be a people who give thanks. So that psalm that Kylie just read was very poignant, was perfect for us today as we talk about what it means to praise the Lord. So we're seeing this this system, this trend go through as we've been walking through Colossians for a number of months. We walked through that through, and then connecting it to Philemon. Last week we talked about some parallel letters with Philippians, Philemon, Colossians, a number of these letters that Paul was writing while imprisoned, while under persecution, but he's writing to encourage the people of God so that they would remember who God is and what God has done, so that then in their own lives, excuse me, then in their own lives, they could be in a rhythm, a regular rhythm of thankfulness and praising God, no matter what was going on around them. So if we've seen that all through God's story, we've expressly seen that in Colossians. We saw it with Philemon and Onesimus in a strange situation that Paul was speaking the gospel into. We see it in Philippians, a book that's supposed to be about joy, and that joy is found in Jesus. So as we've been connecting the dots on some of these things, today we're going to spend some time talking through this idea of thankfulness. And here's part of why I wanted to do this today. What's coming up in November? Thanksgiving, okay? Everybody's ready for that one, right? There are some things that go along with this time of the year, right? Football, and I'll apologize. I'm going to apologize right now. Brett was up here with a Detroit Lions shirt on while he was leading. I'm sorry for that. We're still working on Brett's sanctification. He's getting there. It's a smaller lion that was on his shirt this week, so he's working his way towards understanding he should not be wearing that in Philadelphia on the day that we're playing the Lions. But yeah, so I'm going to apologize for that. I do see some Eagles wear represented, so that's a healthy. We're balancing out the spectrum. But football goes with the fall, right? This kind of weather, it's cooling down. The weather breaks. For me, I love the fall. So when the weather breaks, I actually like really enjoy this time of year. It's not hot all the time. I run hot. So when it's hot, I'm like kind of perpetually sweating through the summer. And when the weather breaks, I feel a little more comfortable, right? It's starting to, the leaves are turning. It's beautiful. I love the autumn and that. And then we get into November and you head towards Thanksgiving. But here's one of these strange things that I'm trying to kind of break up. It's one of the reasons we're going to focus today on this particular topic. That right around the third week in November, we really hone in on being thankful, right? Does that happen to anybody else? Like all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I should be thankful. I gotta like get into a better rhythm with this. And if you're anything like me or many other people that I've talked with, you get into a good rhythm with that right around November. And then you kind of get through December, but the craziness of the holidays and everything else. And then you get into January and it's just full steam ahead, right? And the idea of creating a rhythm in our lives of Thanksgiving gets lost in the shuffle. I feel like it happens kind of yearly, actually. We hone in a little bit. We get focused on thankfulness. We do that for a couple of weeks. We'll probably preach a sermon or two on it. And then it tends to kind of slip away. So one of the things I wanted to do this week is focus in on it now so that as we see some patterns and rhythm for what we see in the life of somebody like the Apostle Paul, what we see in the first century church, whether it's Colossae or Philippi or the life of Philemon or Onesimus or all these other people that we've been focusing on and watching them love the Lord and serve the Lord in the midst of lots of things going on around them, as we observe those kinds of focuses in these people's lives, I want us as a people to start to evaluate and say, how do I set a pattern in my life of being continually thankful? Grateful to the Lord. Praising the Lord, right? As the psalmist says, praise the Lord, for he is good. He's good in all circumstances. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what it might look like for us to create a healthier rhythm of consistent thanksgiving in all of life. I want to read you some quotes, a couple of faithful Christians that are quotes that I have written down, actually, in a couple places inside my Bible. Well, the first one is G.K. Chesterton. If you haven't read anything from G.K. Chesterton, I would suggest you pick something up from him. He's a great writer, godly man, loves the Lord. He has this this one quote that I had written down a while ago that somebody, I think, passed on to me. He says, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Okay, see, gratitude and thanksgiving are different than the emotions of happiness. And what Chesterton is driving for us there is that thanksgiving and gratitude are actually happiness doubled down on by wonder and amazement. That one of the most regular rhythms of gratefulness and thanksgiving getting built into your life is a regular rhythm by being encountered with the wonder of who God is. Without amazement of God, there's going to be a lack of thanksgiving. Because we get caught up, all of us do. We get caught up in our daily routines. We get caught up in our daily pressures. We get caught up in the crises of what happened this past week or what's going on at work or what relational things you're trying to work through. We get caught up in so many stressors that pull our eyes away from the wonder of who God is. We're going to spend a significant time in the Psalms today and in Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, turn to Colossians 3 first. And then we're going to jump through a couple of psalms that will encourage our hearts with this today as we do a little bit of a exercising our thankfulness muscles today. Okay, we're going to do a little training. So, Colossians 3, verse 12, I'll get there in a second. But this idea of gratitude and thanksgiving being the highest form of thought and being doubled when we think about the wonder of who God is. The beyond us nature of who God is and what he has done. Harry Ironside, another preacher, had a quote that somebody passed to me. I don't know where these quotes came from, but I had written them down at one point. Harry Ironside says this, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. Okay, I'm going to read that one again for you. We would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. At some points in time, we all struggled with being dissatisfied with life. We all struggled with being dissatisfied with ourselves. We all struggled at some points with being discontent with others. At times, we're dissatisfied and discontent with God. And the enemy of discontentment and dissatisfaction is thanksgiving. Those two are direct opposites in the life of a spiritual person. Someone who knows Jesus and believes who God is, in their heart has a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to create discontentment and dissatisfaction. The spirit fights to create thankfulness and gratitude. They are opposites. You won't exist in both of those at the same time. This is a battle that needs to be fought. A.J. Gossip, who was a writer and a preacher as well, wrote this particular one, and this one's a little more direct. Read to you, it's a little more direct. Thanksgiving is the language of heaven. We'd better start to learn it if we are not to be mere illiterate aliens when we get there. Okay? Read that one for you. I like that one. Thanksgiving is the language of heaven. We had better start to learn it if we are not to be mere illiterate aliens when we get there. There is no reason why the language of heaven should not be bursting forth into our world through the people of God who have been given new life in him. Thanksgiving is truly the language of heaven. When we get there, that is what we will be doing forever. And the key to breaking through into this world with the kingdom of heaven at hand is the people of God allowing thanksgiving and gratitude to overwhelm us because we're in wonder and amazement of who God is. I'll read you another quote that I had written down. J.I. Packer, very famous theologian, writer, pastor, he writes this. We need to discover all over again that worship is natural to the Christian, as it was to the godly Israelites who wrote the Psalms. We need to realize that the habit of celebrating the greatness and graciousness of God yields an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. The habit of celebrating the greatness and the graciousness of God yields an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. This is the life of someone who has encountered the living God. Encountered the God who has moved, literally, heaven and earth to create space to redeem us. A God who has done things so amazing that through thousands of years are equally inexplicable now as they were in the beginning. That God works beyond us. That he loves in a way that we could never fully fathom, but has been revealed to us in Jesus. That to recognize and celebrate the greatness and the graciousness of God, as Packer tells us, that will yield an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. Isn't this what we admire about those in Scripture? Isn't this what we admire about the psalmist? As David writes, he's under attack. He's held up in a cave at times. He's repenting of murder and adultery and all kinds of other things to the Lord. In the midst of all of those, when he pours his heart out, what does he continually do next? What does he do next? What's that? He praises the Lord. When he hits rock bottom, he looks up and declares the work of the Lord. This is the kind of celebrating of greatness and graciousness of the Lord that works a life and overflows a life with thankfulness. Isn't that what we admire about other great men of God that have gone before us and women of God that have gone before us, that have lived lives in a broken world but have remained faithful to Jesus in the midst? Isn't that the trait we admire? That they can stay the course and keep their eyes fixed on God no matter what happens around them? That they are keeping their eyes, as Colossians has encouraged us, as Paul has required of the church in Colossae and encourages us with as well, that they have kept their eyes on the things above, not on the things of this earth. That's the thing we admire about people of God. That is the trait. Not that they have all everything together, because nobody has everything together. Not that they didn't make mistakes or aren't currently making mistakes. That's not what we admire about the people of God, because that's a totally false paradigm to live in. But instead, what you admire about the people of God that have gone before us, and maybe even some that you know now, is that they are in the midst of anything focused on the things above. And when their eyes get distracted, they repent and come back to praising the Lord. This is the key for a life that is overwhelmed and not a life that is merely reminded once a year of thanksgiving. We should live lives as those who follow Jesus that are overwhelmed with the greatness and the graciousness of God, which results in thankfulness in our hearts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts towards God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is a summary encouragement to allow thankfulness to overwhelm you. Paul does such a masterful job here, and it was only a few weeks ago that we preached through this text. I'm not going to unpack it all again for us, but this text is kind of the epitome of not just what we see in the life of Paul, but what we see exemplified perfectly in the life of Christ as he encountered opposition, as he encountered joys and saw people come to follow him and follow the Lord, as he encountered death and burial, but also encountered resurrection. What we see in the life of Jesus is a consistent focus on the character of God, always encouraging him to trust the Lord and be thankful. There's a number of places in the Psalms that we see this as well. And one of the things that we need to be careful of, particularly as we approach a time where even our culture that may not know who God is celebrates Thanksgiving itself, we need to be careful to attribute thankfulness and gratitude to its proper place, which is with the Lord. Cornelius Plantiga, another quote that I had written down one day, says this: "It must be an odd feeling to be thankful to nobody in particular." Kind of a strange thing, right? It must be an odd feeling to be thankful to nobody in particular. Christians in public institutions often see this odd thing happening on Thanksgiving Day. Everyone in the institution seems to be thankful in general. Just thankful in general. It's very strange. It's like someone trying to be married in general to no one else. What Plantiga is trying to get across to us is this: thankfulness has to be rooted in an object of thankfulness. Otherwise, it will be fleeting. It'll come on Thanksgiving Day, and the next day will be Black Friday, which no one is thankful on Black Friday. Everyone is striving for more, right? Isn't that one of the weirdest things in our culture? Like, if you want to see the direct paradox of Thanksgiving being rooted in nothingness, think of Thanksgiving Day. And then Friday morning, as people are getting up at 2 in the morning to get more stuff. Because they're, or night now, right? Like, we, and just in case you were wondering, culture would rather have the discontentment overwhelm Thanksgiving Day as well. That's why they keep moving things up, right? Black Friday starts on Thanksgiving Day now. This crazy paradox in our world, it is a strange place, as Plantiga says, to be thankful in general. Because being thankful in general moves away from you very easily. And discontentment creeps immediately in. Psalm 7:17 says this: "I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High." This is one of the wonderful things you see as the psalmist declares his thankfulness. As he declares his thankfulness and he names it for the Lord and the traits of the Lord. He says again, "I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. It's not in general thanks. Thank you, God. It's thank you, Lord, for being righteous. He goes on and says, I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. I will sing praise to the Lord because he is the Most High. I will give thanks to the Lord because he is righteous. So the character and the attributes of God are the things that we root our gratefulness and our gratitude and our thanksgiving in. If they are not rooted rightly, they will be easily blown down by the next wind that comes across your path. It's this picture in our minds of a tree, a tall tree with very shallow roots. And we talk about Thanksgiving all the time, and we even create a holiday for it. And we get school off for the kids, and you don't have to work. We create all this, but the roots are so shallow that as soon as a wind of discontentment comes up against it, what does it do? Knocks the tree right over. But if we are firmly and deeply rooted in who God is and his character, the gratitude and gratefulness for God being himself will root us deeply so that our thanksgiving and gratitude are not knocked over at the first wind of dissatisfaction or discontentment that comes across your path, or the first persecution that feels hard to you, or the first person who criticizes your roots in Christ. It won't be easily moved. It will be deeply rooted. So today, what I want us to be able to do is actually do a little exercise together that will help, hopefully, continue to root our understanding and our gratefulness and thanksgiving to the Lord in his character. Now, do not feel all of a sudden put on the spot, even though I'm putting you on the spot, okay? What I want you to feel is, as a family, we want to work this through together so that we take it with us, so that it gets ingrained in us. And also, because inevitably, there are people in this room who are struggling to be thankful today, and there are people in this room who are not struggling to be thankful today, but they will tomorrow, and the other people might not be struggling tomorrow. And we need each other to encourage each other, to lift each other up in this. So what we're going to do for the next couple minutes is this. I'm going to read a couple more Psalms to us to give you a minute to start getting your character and attributes of God flowing, okay? And then we're going to make a list up here for all of us to see. I think of this picture of Nehemiah, and if you don't know the story of Nehemiah well, Nehemiah had been off in a far country in captivity. He had seen that Jerusalem, the city of God, had been totally desolated. He asked the king for permission to go back. The Lord steps in, not only grants him permission, but gives him all the resources he needs. When he gets back there, after getting into the project of rebuilding the city of God, the people get a little discouraged. And what does Nehemiah do? He gets up in front of all of the people, and he reminds them of the Lord. He reads the words of the Lord to them. He talks about the character of God to them. And then, after that, he calls them to action. So today we're going to do that together. We're going to remind ourselves of the character of God that we are grateful and thankful for. And that will continually overwhelm our lives and create a rhythm of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. So, I'm going to read a couple more Psalms, but I want you to start moving in that direction. Psalm 9:1 says this, I will recount your wonderful deeds. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will again recount all of your wonderful deeds. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I will give thanks to him. Giving thanks because the Lord is his strength and shield. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints. Give thanks to him, for his name is holy. Psalm 30, verse 12. That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my rock and my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let's walk our way through some of the attributes, characteristics, and our beliefs of who God is and what he has done that create an opportunity for us to be thankful. Who wants to start us off? Robert. Kindness of God. Oh, that one stinks. We're not using that one. That's better. And you're going to have to excuse my handwriting. What else? What's that? The provision of the Lord. What else? That he is patient. Guidance, his guidance. I heard one. That he's constant. Unchanging. What else? Hold on, sorry, rapid fire. I can't write that quick. There's one over here. What's that? Forgiving. Faithfulness. Mercies. I love how the scriptures remind us that his mercies are new. How often? Every morning. His mercies are new every morning.
Love is steadfast.
Steadfast love. Audrey. I don't know if I can write all that down. All right, I'm going to try my best to summarize. The Lord's imagination and creation. And the fact that he has chosen us to steward over it, which is amazing. I was at a family wedding yesterday. I had that same experience, Audrey. Family wedding that was way out in the middle of nowhere and actually got a little bit lost on the way back to my in-law's house, but got lost in the middle of nowhere. And as you're driving around the middle of nowhere, it's amazing. I'm like, this is beautiful. So I had a very similar experience, which you just described even just yesterday afternoon. What else? What's that? The wonder of birth. Yeah. We can all acknowledge that one is absolutely beyond us. And we have one of my favorite things about being part of the family of God is that's always around. Like, we may be done having children, but we are not done having children. So that's good. And Chester is, what, a month old? Not quite a month old. Katie's due any minute, yesterday, right? Yesterday. Right? we got Laura's pregnant. We got things going all over the place, and the Lord continually reminds us the miracle of birth. This is truly a miracle. What else? That he is almighty. What else? Okay, that he initiates. I'm going to tag on to that one, too. That he pursues. What else? That he's righteous. Loving. Comforting, absolutely. What else? Just, that he is just. In a world where we are looking for justice constantly. Somebody over here. Okay. That he provides peace. Patient. Did we get patient? Got patient. Put a check mark next to it. We're going to reiterate that one. Okay, over here. He's not prejudiced. Long-suffering. Hope. He brings hope. That he's long-suffering. Okay, that he teaches us. And that he, yeah, I'm going to say again that he, we'll split those up, that he ministers to us. What else? Okay, that he is a physical and spiritual healer. He's gentle. He sustains. Did we get that? Yeah, sustains us. He's selfless. And that honestly is one that's kind of like, if that doesn't blow your mind, that the God of the universe that is all of these things is also humble, that's a little crazy. Like, that's totally beyond us. But he is selfless and all of these at the same time. What else? Sufficient for us. He finishes our faith. And he initiates our faith. He does both ends of that one. That's a great transaction for us. He nurtures. And he is the ultimate friend. Okay. He sends. Sends the Spirit to help us. Absolutely. What else? He counsels. Did we get that one? No, it's a good one. Counsels. Okay, so he is independent of us. So he's not relying on us. So that's one. And he's thankful. Yeah. He is not relying on us. It's the ultimate example of thankful. What else? Laura. He's eternal. Yeah. Kelly, you want to find us another whiteboard? I'm kidding. Yeah, it's all right. Somebody over here. That he frees us.
Paid our debt.
Yeah, he pays our debt. Okay. I'm just going to start filling in anywhere. We'll do different colors so we can see them. Empathizes. You can't read it, so you don't know it's spelled wrong. All right, what else? Krista, generous. He is generous. He is good. He is our Father. Yeah, and along with that, he is the good Father. He's a good shepherd. What else? He is alive. He is victorious. What else? What's that? He is wise. We did a little bit, yep. Yep. Constant, unchanging, yep. He is our firm foundation. Sovereign, yeah. He is a jealous God, jealous for us. What's that? Okay. He passes his traits to us, which is generous, and everything else on here. Yeah. Zach, yeah.
Holy and
pure. He is pure, yes. He's mysterious. What else?
Redeeming.
He is omnipresent. That doesn't create wonder in your mind. You just think about it a little longer. It will. What else?
Family.
What's that? That he is a family. He creates family. He is sovereign. Did we hit that one? We hit it down here, yep. What else? Everything. Trans everything. Yeah. So personal, present. And at the same time, transcendent. Sorry. Yeah, Kelly is the wordsmith, so he gets transcendent. Might be right. Okay. So we could keep going. We're not gonna run out. Okay? What I love as I read the Psalms is this is what I'm picturing. I'm picturing the psalmist doing this and then sitting down while looking at it and just picking once. I'm going to talk about this one. I'm praising the Lord for his righteousness. He is unchanging. He's our rock. He's our foundation. And it's like the psalmist just kind of like flows through these, right? And how much do we need as the people of God to be consistently reminded of the greatness and the grandeur and the glory of the Lord that creates wonder and amazement in us so that we result in hearts that overflow with thankfulness because we're even struggling to put words to who he is. This is the kind of thing that I would even encourage you to say, find a whiteboard in your house and just kind of work this into your weekly routine. Make sure you have places and spaces in your life to remind you of God, of his character, of his grandeur, of his holiness, of all of his attributes. We could flip the whiteboard and keep going. But who he is should overwhelm and create amazement and wonder in our lives so that we respond in the right response of being thankful and gracious and having gratitude towards the Lord. Letting the words of our mouth speak forward how thankful we are for who God is and what he's done for us. As I get older, and I'm not the oldest one in the room yet, but as I get older, this is one of the things that the Lord continually impresses upon me. How quickly does your soul go back to gratefulness when distracted? When you turn the TV on, and Harry and Bev and Val and I had an opportunity to spend a day together this past week, and it was wonderful. We went up, got some training in New York City with some good brothers who have been doing some work on some things for the church. And one of the conversations that Harry and I had sitting on the train ride on the way back was how incredible it is to take a couple of steps back and see that our entire system in the U.S. is built to create discontentment. Have you ever paused to consider this? Like everything. Like commercials, like marketing, like when you're walking down the street, how things are branded. And so there's a constant influx in our lives of trying to convince us that things are not good enough, that your life is not good enough, that your possessions are not enough, that the recognition that people are giving you is not enough, it should be more, that the concept of marketing is this one thing: create discontentment so someone will do more. And I'm not vilifying that at all. I'm just saying, are we aware as people that every influence apart from the influence of Christ and his word and his spirit is trying to push us in a direction that is the opposite of spiritual maturity? Because spiritual maturity is contentment in the face of everything else. Gratitude in the face of whatever difficulty. Thankfulness in the face of trial or hardship or discontentment. And how quickly does your soul go back to thanksgiving when distracted? This is my prayer. This is my prayer for myself. It's my prayer for you. So pray for us as a church, as people who are following Jesus, that we would fix our eyes on the things that are above and not be continually distracted by the things of this earth, so that we can stand with Paul and Epaphras and the psalmist and Nehemiah and all the other people who have gone before us and say, I know it looks bad, but let's remember who God is. I know you might not feel great right now, but let's remember who God is. And in doing that, our lives would overflow with joy and thanksgiving. Psalm 33:2 says, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Psalm 44:8, in God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to his name forever. Psalm 54:6, with a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for you are good. Psalm 57:9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations because of your works. Psalm 79:13, but we are people, the sheep of your pasture. We will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. This is the discipline of the people of God. Psalm 92:1, how great are your works. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name. Psalm 100, His steadfast love endures forever. Make a thankful noise to the Lord in all the earth. Scripture is full of reminders for us. Let's let our lives be full of reminders to each other. Constant acknowledgement of God's great and indescribable character. So that because we have encountered the living God, we are amazed and left in wonder at him. And then everything we encounter is under the light of that. We can be thankful in all circumstances. As G.K. Chesterton said, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Thanksgiving, again, is the language of heaven, and we had better start to learn it if we are not to be mere illiterate aliens when we get there. Let's let the kingdom of heaven break forth into our everyday. Let's allow thanksgiving and gratefulness to overwhelm us so that when people are around us, they ask, what kind of a God is this? That in the midst of that, you are giving thanks. Then we can talk to them about the living God.